Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Job and chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Job has been longing that God would speak to him, and he has not accepted any of the men who have come to him who believe, wrongly but sincerely, that they are speaking for God. There is but one voice that can satisfy the suffering believer, and that is the voice of God himself. So in Job 38, God at last speaks. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors, when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it, and set bars and doors, when I said, 'This far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop,' have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal, and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me, if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths of its home? Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way light is diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste, and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice, and the frost of heaven, who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades, or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings, that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'? Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can pour out the bottles of heaven, when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens, or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food?" We trust God to bless the reading of his holy word. Our text this morning is the first verse of the chapter that we read. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." The Lord answered Job. That was all he had asked for. All he truly needed was for God to speak. God had waited, had been silent, and Job had felt the silence of God as if God were absent. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him," he cried out. But God came to him. And God must speak because men have been darkening counsel by words without knowledge. Men have been speaking and not understanding, not knowing truly what is happening. God speaks to clear the air, to silence the words of men. But you will notice that God does not speak to explain himself. At no point does God explain to anybody what happened in heaven at the beginning of the book. Job is not told. And this is something that we have to deal with. We cannot merely pass over this silence there, but we see first of all the communication that God makes. God speaks. We see the challenge that there is to us and to Job, and the comfort that the mere fact of God speaking is to Job and to those who are troubled. First of all, then, communication. God speaks. And it is needed, because there has been all the way through a prevailing wrong idea of how God is. Yes, God is just. God is holy. All these things are true. But God is more than justice. Justice, after all, is primarily about reacting. Justice watches and sees if somebody commits an offence and punishes. But justice is about reacting. But God does not just react, does he? God acts. And so he speaks here of his creation. "When I laid the foundations of the earth," you notice he uses the metaphor of building a house. You lay the foundations, stretch the line to make sure that the walls are straight, make sure the foundations are properly laid. To what were they fastened? Who laid the cornerstone? All these building metaphors. God is the creator. God is the one from whom all things come. God is the one who has set the limits of the ocean. And God is the one who is managing all things. The ancients and the Bible knows nothing of the idea of a universe that's like a clock. You know, the clockmaker builds the clock, winds it up, and it then goes without the clockmaker doing anything. No, God is the one who is managing the world. He is the one who has commanded the morning since days began. He is the one who causes the sun to rise so that the wicked, remember those who do wickedness, like to do it under cover of darkness, the wicked be shaken out of it, that is, they scurry back to their various holes from whence they have come, hiding from the light of the dawn which God has caused to arise. It's not that God is reacting to the wicked, but the wicked are reacting to God. It's notable, you know, we go out in the open air to preach and we are not reacting to the people there so much as they are reacting to us. And you can get all sorts of verbal abuse shouted at you. You can get things thrown at you. But it's not that we go out to react to them. But it's that those who are out react to the word of God. God's speech comes first. In the beginning, the Bible says, God created. In the beginning, God. God is the one who has started everything and who is working and who has a purpose in all that he does. He's not just sitting back to see what man does, but he is working and we have to react to what he does. God is working. And God is his own interpreter, as the hymn writer says. That is to say, we look at what God has made, we look at what God has done, we see the creation, and we are left with a question: how do we interpret the creation? How do we understand the creation? Well, we may do it by mere human reason. But the trouble with mere human reason is that we make mistakes. We don't understand. Because we make ourselves the center of everything. We imagine that we are the key. But this is not the case at all. God indeed causes it to rain on a land where there is no one. A wilderness in which there is no man to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass. There's nobody there to appreciate it. There is nobody there to see it. But God nevertheless causes it to rain in the desert. Causes it to rain in those moorlands where nobody goes. And causes the flowers to blossom. Why? Because his end in all his works is his own glory. He has made all things for himself. Not in a selfish way, for God is love. But if we make ourselves, and the tendency of course is not just to make man the centre of it all, but to make our own individual selves the centre of the universe and to imagine that our understanding, our thoughts are the key. But this is not so. God must speak and interpret his own works. And we look at the world and we see that nature does reveal something about who God is. He has made it. It shows his eternal power and his divine nature, says the Apostle Paul. It shows also, if we were to look at Job 39, there is the ostrich. And the ostrich is brought forth as being ridiculous. As stupid as an ostrich was a proverb back then. And God has made some things that are ridiculous and silly. And he has done so, again, for his own reasons. He has done so because he does have a sense of humour. And we see it come out in the Bible. God has made all things and God understands what they are for. And also God interprets providence. We sang that hymn of Thomas Charles was his older brother, about the great providence of heaven. And it is difficult to understand. Now, David Charles was a man who loved to read. And his older brother became a minister, went to university to become a minister in the Church of England. And everyone said, well, David will follow. But the family lost everything, through no fault of their own, really. And so David had to, instead of becoming a minister going to university, he had to get a manual job working. And they said, what a waste of that brilliant mind he has. But he managed to become a factory owner and manager. And God opened the way for him to preach and become a minister. And then he had a terrible stroke and was paralyzed. And he could not preach anymore. But he could write. And he wrote letters to people all over Wales. And in England too. And in Scotland and Ireland. Sharing the love of God and the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote this hymn because he understood, he knew how difficult providence is to interpret, and yet its darkness dense is but a radiant light. Its oft perplexing ways. Why, Lord, did I not go to university like my older brother? Why, Lord, did I have a stroke so I couldn't preach anymore? Its oft perplexing ways are ordered aright. Lord, you know what you are doing, even though I don't. And soon all its winding paths will end, and then the tale of wonder shall be told beyond the veil. Not here is it given to us to understand all the works of God's providence, but God knows what he is doing, and God speaks. And he speaks in the Bible, in words. And he speaks best of all in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose life and work and words all the Scripture centreth. Communication, God speaks, and we hear him. And he speaks to us. And we see that he is the Creator. And he is the one who is ruling and managing this great universe. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Even David Charles would agree, even a stroke, he would say, works for good to the people of God. Though we may not recognize it at the time, even our illnesses work to God's glory. But then there is the challenge, and the challenge is to listen and to hear what God is saying. Job's friends have come with their various theories and ideas, and they have very much taken the view, well, Job, sin is the result that is the thing that leads to suffering. So a great sinner is a great sufferer, and a great sufferer is a great sinner, so they think. They are wrong. But that is what they thought. And so, Job, if you are suffering, it's because of the wickedness that you have done. It's because you are some great sinner. Who is like Job who drinks up scorning like water, said Elihu? Who is a companion of wicked men? Well, he's nothing of the sort. And so Job asks, oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book, that is, the prosecutor writes a charge sheet. These are the crimes with which you are charged. But God does not come with a charge sheet. God does not. He cannot, of course, because it's not a matter with Job of a charge sheet. It's not a matter of God having said, well, Job has done wicked things and therefore he must suffer. Rather, it is that God has commended Job for his righteousness, and the devil has said, make him suffer and he won't be righteous anymore. And yet Job retained his righteousness and did not curse God, though he felt that God was acting strangely towards him, yet he longed to hear God and to know God. And God does not say to Job, now this is what's happening. Satan has challenged your righteousness, and I am proving to him and to the whole angelic host that you are a righteous man. God could have said that. But that would have destroyed the value of the book to us. Because it would have meant that we would have to say, well, God must give me a personal explanation here and now of what he is doing. But God does not work like that. He does not do that in the book of Job. Instead, God speaks to Job of who he is. You will see that behind all of these questions. The answer is, who is, did you? No. God did. Where were you? You were nowhere, but God was there. Who shot the sea in the sea with stores? God did. This is what God is like. And so the answers to these questions, which are very much rhetorical questions, the answers are all intended to bring the mind back to who God is. God did not explain it for our sake so that we might read the book and say, ah, there is an explanation, but we do not know necessarily what it is, but God does. And we understand God as we see him revealed in the scriptures. As we see him revealed not in special individual revelations to us, but in his grand and great revelation to the whole world, in his scriptures, in his Son, Jesus Christ. For our sakes, God did not explain himself, but also for Job's sake, he did not explain himself. Because God knows what we need better than we do. God knows what Job needs better than Job does. And what we need is not an explanation, but God. We need God with us, Emmanuel. We need God by his Spirit and God by his Scripture speaking to us. And you know, when you are concerned about a friend, it is not the friend explaining things to you, but simply talking with the friend that reassures you and helps you. So it is with God. It is simply hearing the voice of God. And it does not all that much matter what it is saying. That is the blessing that Job seeks. And Job is to know, as we are to know, that God, after all, is God. And what he is like in his character, he is too good to be mistaken. Too wise to be mistaken and too good to be unkind. Even when we have not a clue what he is doing, he is still God only wise, as we sang. But also he is God all merciful and all good. God is gracious. And he speaks to those who walk in darkness. And in this book of Job, there is a special value for those who look at providence and say, I don't understand what's happening. We find it summed up by God speaking to Isaiah. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. And that is what Job is doing. Job is in many ways the greatest believer in the Old Testament, because he trusts God who doesn't explain anything to him. He trusts God who speaks to him. He trusts God for who God is, when not understanding what God does. And how much scripture did Job have? Probably nothing. Nothing written. Or very little. And yet he trusted God when he could not see what was going on. And when God spoke to him and did not explain himself, he said, well, let God be God. If he is God, then he does not need to explain himself to me, a mere creature of a day. It is enough that he stoops and deigns to speak. We trust in who God is. And having him is enough, so we come to the comfort. And the great comfort to Job and to us is this, that God is there for his people. Now, this is no comfort at all to those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus. If God is there to an unbeliever, he is there as a judge. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But outside of Christ Jesus, there is condemnation. And the only answer to that condemnation is to come to God as he has come to us in Jesus Christ. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who did not come into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world through him might be saved. But the comfort to those who are God's people, who are believing in God as Job believed, is that God is there. That God is the one who exists. And he is the God who always was there. Job felt that God was far away from him. But you see, our feelings are not reliable. We are so moved by circumstances. Why we are so moved by our bodily health. Anyone can tell you, anyone knows how indigestion can ruin a day. And indigestion is not a matter of God being near or far. It's just a matter of our body not doing what it's supposed to be doing. How the flu just lays you out. And again, it's got nothing to do with whether God is near or far from the one with the flu. It's just that's what the flu does. And Job was suffering constant chronic pain. He was in agony. And he felt that God was not speaking to him. This was part of the test. A test, of course, that God knew he would pass and wanted him to pass. But Job carried on believing. I know that my Redeemer lives, he said in the midst of his suffering. I know. I cannot feel that fact. I cannot see the fact. But I know because he has revealed himself. And God comes and speaks to Job and reveals that his faith is not misplaced. The Christian's faith is never misplaced. Trust in God, that's what faith is. Trust in God is never misplaced. If it is trust in God who has revealed himself in the scriptures and in Jesus Christ our Lord. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees, and trust to that alone laughs at impossibilities and says it shall be done because God shall do it. God is there. And he is always with the Christian. We do not trust to our feelings, but to his word. And God has said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And Jesus Christ has said to his people, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Not, lo, I am with you most of the time, but always. Not, lo, I am with you when you are feeling encouraged, but lo, I am with you always, even when you are discouraged. Lo, I am with you when things are going well and when things are going poorly. Always, even to the end of the age. And when the age ends, then we shall always be with him. He is with us in this age. We shall be with him in the age to come if we are his, if we are trusting in God. Faith in Christ is never misplaced. And now we see God reveals himself to the believer. We are reminded, or at least I am, of Stephen, the great first martyr of the Christian age. And Stephen was a faithful man, a man who preached Christ even when he was taken up and arrested, persecuted. And they asked him to explain what he was saying, and he preached Christ. And what was the result of him preaching Christ? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. But that can be a good thing. On the day of Pentecost, the hearers were cut to the heart, but these hearers were not cut to the heart in a good way. They were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." God revealed himself to his servant at that moment. And then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep, that is, he died. They murdered him in a vicious act of mob violence. God revealed himself to that dying man. And we ask the questions, we see these men who were murdered by a so-called Islamic State group. 21 men, and not one of them denied Christ. Now that is not human. Humanly speaking, a man will give everything for his life. But those men did not love their lives unto death. Because it was not humanly speaking. But they endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so God does speak to his people and receive them at last into his presence. How glorious it is. The comfort is that God is with us. And the comfort that God is love. That is the great assurance that Job receives in these words that God speaks to him at the end of this book. That God is love. We do not need a detailed explanation of everything. We need to know who God is and what he is like. And we see him revealing that in the cross of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the love of God that is shown in that cross. "We read you best," says the hymn writer, speaking of the love of God, "in him who came to bear for us the cross of shame, sent by the Father from on high, our life to live, our death to die." We come at last to the cross of Jesus Christ our Lord. We come at last to that which we remember when we gather round this table of the Lord. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here is the assurance. Here is who God is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. This is what God is like. The man who came to die for us. God's love is like this. God is so gracious that he did not spare his only begotten Son, but freely gave him up for us all. This is the good news. And God calls us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust the God who is revealed there dying on the cross, who is revealed there giving himself for his people, to his people, who is revealed there as the Saviour. Behold him. Look to him. See the Word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ our Lord. And there is the answer to all our questions, to all our problems. Christ for us sinners. Christ, the love of God manifested in him. What we need then is not detailed explanations, but God himself. Nothing but him can satisfy, none but Christ can satisfy. The God who speaks in the Scriptures, God who has spoken in Christ Jesus, God who is wise and good, who knows our needs, who knows all things, God who is love, and who speaks the great word of his love in Jesus Christ our Lord, and who says at last, "This is my beloved Son, hear him, hear him." Amen.